gotta sing this song sitting down, don't we? So, are we ready? I'm ready. Are you ready? Are you ready, red team? Are you ready, blue team? Here we go. I have found a wonderful Savior. Amen, brother, amen. He has altered my behavior. Amen, brother, amen. Ready? Amen, brother. Amen, sister. Amen, brother, amen. Now on that, uh-huh. You got to come up out of your seat. Both hands go, uh-huh. Okay? Let's try. One, two, three. Uh-huh. Hey. They're getting it. They got it. Okay. We'll slow it down just a little bit and get you started here. I have found a wonderful Savior. Amen, brother, amen. He has altered my behavior. Amen, brother, amen. Amen, brother. Amen, sister. Amen, brother, amen. I have found a wonderful Savior. Amen, brother, amen. They're getting better, a little bit better there. All right, let's sing this next verse. Here's Faith, Faith Baptist is a wonderful place. We are at Faith Baptist today, aren't we? So, Faith Baptist is a wonderful place. That's how I go. Faith Baptist is a wonderful place. Amen, brother, amen. Where we learn about God's grace. Okay? Here we go. You ready? Faith Baptist is a wonderful place. Amen, brother, amen. Where we learn about God's grace. Amen, brother, amen. Amen, brother. Amen, sister. Amen, brother, amen. I have found a wonderful Savior. Amen, brother, amen. Who's doing better so far?
Oh, well, the blue are doing great.
Yeah?
The red are doing a little bit better.
The red are doing better. Okay. Here we go. We got to do it again. And you're watching for somebody for the spirit bucket, right? Okay. Okay. Here we go. Let's sing the next verse. Jesus loves me, this I know. Amen, brother, amen. And when he calls, I'm ready to go. Amen, brother, amen. All right, that'll be easy for you. Ready? Jesus loves me, this I know. Amen, brother, amen. And when he calls, I'm ready to go. Amen, brother, amen. Ready? Amen, brother. Amen, sister. Amen, brother, amen. I have found a wonderful Savior. Amen, brother, amen. Boy, now they're doing pretty good. All right, Brother Don. Yeah, that's fine.
All right, on the red team. On the red team, Mr. Spirit. On the red team, Ted Williams. On the blue team, Mr. Spirit, Aunt Jemima, Paul Blanchett. Come on up and see what we got today in the spirit bucket. Open her up. Ted, you go first. All right, go ahead and open it up. We'll read it out loud, see what we got here. Uh-oh. Free meal in the lunchroom. All right, give him a hand.
Good.
Yeah. There you go, Paul. See what we got. Maybe one of those fabulous prizes upstairs in the office. Go ahead and open it up. Free pizza in the lunchroom. There you go.
You got the points. Now, our point keeper today has got some points for us to find out where we stand. Yeah. Up to this time, as of right now, we have a total of 77,200 points for one team. Oh, wow. Is that 79? 79,800 points. Wow. Wow. So that is 2,600 points. That is close. 2,600 points difference. 2,600 points difference. And the team that has 77,200 points is in second place. And the team that has 79,800 points is in this room right now. And that team with 79,800 points is wearing bandanas. And that team with 79,800 points is the blue team. And they got good spirit. Give them a couple hundred spirit points. And second place is the red team. The red team. That is right. And they have good spirit. They got good spirit. Give them a couple hundred spirit points, them red team. Now, our member verse, we forgot to tell them when and where about saying that member verse yesterday. Member verse is Daniel chapter 6, verse number 3. And so we'll use that one for today because we forgot to remind you about that yesterday. And so if you say that verse, if everybody on the team says it word perfect, okay, you get a bonus 10,000 points for your team. That will help you. Okay, so that's the member verse. You can work on that today. We'll let you know when and where to say that and how we'll work that out. But at this time, we need to have our crazy time. Yes. Yesterday, we did our rattlesnakes, and I think Blue, you all were rattlesnakes yesterday, right? So today, Red is going to be the rattlesnakes. Okay. Red rattlesnakes. And whether if we use the same people or different, it doesn't matter to me, but we'll use the fellas. Yeah, four from each side. Four from each side. K-Dub, yeah, boys. I'm like, well, I tell you what. You could, if you want to do girls, we could do girls today, but it has to be all girls. Because we don't want fellas grabbing girls. Because that wouldn't be good. We'd get in trouble. And these girls would be busting these boys right in the mouth, okay? So, you can do girls. Give me four girls on each side. And K-Dub, I need you to give me 2 minutes on your watch. And let me know. All right. So today, we have red girls are going to be rattlesnakes. Jeannie Mae and Loretta, if you could help us get the girls blindfolded. Girls, if you have glasses on, probably good to take your glasses off, lay them on the altar. And that would be a safe spot to put them. Now, remember, we have the full auditorium. You got to stay off of the platform and out of the balcony. But otherwise, you have got the auditorium. Okay. We will see who does the best. Whoever, if the hunters catch more. Baloo. All right. Big red. The red have got some, they've got some spirit. I hear some spirit on the red side. They got good. Brother Don, give the blue a red 100 spirit points. They got some spirit. Okay. Are you ready? Okay, red. Ah. We might need to fix Miss Angel's. Hers was dropping down. Is it going to be all right? Okay, you got it fixed? Okay, good. Okay, snakes with the cans. You all may disperse, go hide. And let us put the hunters across the front altar there, the four hunters. Okay? So, snakes with the cans, go find you a place. Yeah, go hide somewhere. Ouch. Okay. Now, here we go. Shh. Okay, quiet on the set. Listen closely. Here we go. Those of you that are left behind in the pews need to be quiet so that when I say rattle, they can hear the rattle. And you got 2 minutes. Yesterday, the red caught all four of the blue. And what was that? We gave them 4,000 points for that. So today, blue, you get your chance to come back since we've got you on the opposite end of the stick. Now, every time I say rattle, they will rattle. So let's do a sound check here. Rattle. Oh, did y'all hear that? Okay, girls. Are you ready? On your marks. Get set. Go. Okay, rattle.
They're looking for the snakes.
Rattle. Rattle. Okay, rattle. Oh, they got one. Okay, rattle. I'm only hearing one rattle. See where those other rattlers are, Brother Don. Where are they at? Oh, there's one. Oh, no, she got caught. Rattle. Where's the other rattles? Do you hear them? I can't hear the other rattlers. Rattle. Okay, there we go. They was hung up. Okay. Rattle. 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 Okay, got two. Rattle. 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 Oh, they got it last minute. Is there any left? Rattle. Time is up. Time is up. Okay, so we had one was left. Is that right? Okay. Well, good job. Good job. Who was that last one that was hiding? Rosie, good job, Rosie, for the red team. Okay, blue, you get 3,000 points. And red, since you had one left, you get 1,000 points. All right, good job. Now, y'all ready to do this for the little man? Okay. Now, let's see. Brother Don, we got one more thing we're going to do. We're going to sing a song. Whichever side does the best gets the candy. I've got a bag of candy we're going to throw out amongst them. And Brother Don's going to be watching to decide which side does the best with expression. Okay? This song is, for those of you that don't know it, Yes, He'll Deliver Me. Do y'all know that song? Okay? So, we'll go through the motions here slow. All right? See, I'll take this mic. Okay. It goes like this. There's motions to it. We'll try to do it slow. Hopefully our choreography will all be just identical. Okay? Here we go. We'll try it. It goes like this. Yes, He'll deliver me in my time of need. Like those Hebrew children. You're kind of like little kids going up the staircase, okay? So it's deliver me in my time of need. Like those Hebrew children from the fiery flames. You got fiery flames, okay? I got to be singing it to remember the words. He fed 5,000 with two fishes and bread, and he walked on the water. So you're walking on the water. He walked on the water, and he raised the dead, okay? So, I knew they could get that one, okay? So, it goes like this. Let's kind of sing it slow up to that point. Yes, He'll deliver me in my time of need, like those Hebrew children from the fiery flame. And He fed 5,000 with two fishes and bread, and He walked on the water, and He raised the dead. Well, He stood by Daniel in the lion's den. The lion's den, you got claws. Okay, claws. Well, they get into it, don't
yeah.
they? Yeah. And let's see, and Daniel in the lion's den, and he stole Moses from Pharaoh's hand. So you got Pharaoh's hand, okay? Saved old Moses from Pharaoh's hand. Open the eyes of the blind to see. I know that he'll deliver me. All right, that's how that goes. We'll sing it through slow again, okay? You ready? Here we go. Yes, he'll deliver me in my time of need, like those Hebrew children from the fiery flame. And he fed 5,000 with two fishes and bread, and he walked on the water, and he raised the dead. Well, he stood by Daniel in the lion's den, and he saved old Moses from Pharaoh's hand. Open the eyes of the blind to see. I know that he'll deliver me. All right. That's it. So, let's try it again. Let's all stand up on our hind legs. Okay. Are you ready? Let's try it now. Yes, he'll deliver me in my time of need, like those Hebrew children from the fiery flame. And he stood 5,000 with two fishes and bread, and he walked on the water, and he raised the dead. Well, he stood by Daniel in the lion's den, and he saved old Moses from Pharaoh's hand. Open the eyes of the blind to see. I know that he'll deliver me. Let's speed it up a little bit better. They're doing pretty good, Brother Don. They're catching on. Okay. Here we go. Yes, he'll deliver me in my time of need, like those Hebrew children from the fiery flame. And he fed 5,000 with two fishes and bread, and he walked on the water, and he raised the dead. Well, he stood by Daniel in the lion's den, and he saved old Moses from Pharaoh's hand. Open the eyes of the blind to see. I know that he'll deliver me. A little bit faster. Yes, he'll deliver me in my time of need, like those Hebrew children from the fiery flames. And he fed 5,000 with two fishes and bread, and he walked on the water, and he raised the dead. Well, he stood by Daniel in the lion's den, and he saved old Moses from Pharaoh's hand. Open the eyes of the blind to see. I know that he'll deliver me. Hey, who's doing better so far? Close? It's real close? It's real close. Okay, we'll pick it up a little bit faster. Yes, he'll deliver me in my time of need, like those Hebrew children from the fiery flames. And he fed 5,000 with two fishes and bread, and he walked on the water, and he raised the dead. Well, he stood by Daniel in the lion's den, and he saved old Moses from Pharaoh's hand. Open the eyes of the blind to see. I know that he'll deliver me. Who's doing better now? Okay, one more time. He's favoring the red just a little bit. Just a little. Just a little.
Come on, Baloo.
So blue.
You can do it, Baloo.
All right, Blue, here's your chance. You got to turn it on.
Hallelujah.
Are you ready? Who's still in ahead, though? The blue's still leading, right? But who's in second place? The red. All right, here we go. Yes, he'll deliver me in my time of need, like those Hebrew children from the fiery flames. And he fed 5,000 with two fishes and bread, and he walked on the water, and he raised the dead. Well, he stood by Daniel in the lion's den, and he saved old Moses from Pharaoh's hand. Open the eyes of the blind to see. I know that he'll deliver me. All right, who did the best of all the rest?
Hush is over my microphone.
hush. Oh, there it is. A hush covers the crowd. They're wondering which side did the best. Brother Don, which side did the best? Red! All right, give him a bonus 1,000 points. And they get some. All right, and you all did a good job. All right, now you can be seated. All right. That candy will help keep you awake. Smart. Did everybody on the red team get some? Because if you didn't, you can share. Okay. Need to share. Somebody needs to share.
You
didn't
get any?
Two. Somebody got a handful up there, I tell you. All righty. Are you all ready?
Give it to the baby.
All right, we're going to sing and play a little song here for you. Hope you enjoy it. If not, just smile and act like you do, okay? Here you go. Kick us off there, Jeannie. Bibles, turn to Daniel chapter number 6. Daniel chapter number 6. Daniel chapter number 6. Of course, 6:3 will be your memory verse for today. Daniel chapter 6, if you would. Daniel chapter 6. Oh, I left my thing down here. And there it is. I thought that was it. He's sleeping right now. All right. Talked yesterday about Daniel and how he was preferred because what was in him? An excellent spirit. Okay. He was preferred because an excellent spirit was in him. Daniel chapter 6, verse number 3. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Now, of course, we mentioned yesterday that the spirit here, small s, stands for the thinking, the motivating, the feeling part of man. Your disposition, your temper of mind. It said he had an excellent spirit. His spirit was above everybody else's. We mentioned yesterday how that your spirit will give you strength to overcome. It'll cause you to speak what kind of words? Kind words. It'll cause you to have what kind of a face? A happy face. It'll also cause you to be like poison or medicine. That's right. If you've got an excellent spirit, it'll keep you from getting bitter. I told you the story about Jolene Forsythe and her hands being burned by her mama, and how that she ended up winning her mama to the Lord. Got saved. And so we told you about those things, about a spirit. Many verses in Proverbs, if we had time, we could dig into and look about the excellent spirit of somebody. Daniel, it says there, he had an excellent spirit. I called it his unbelievable attitude. What was it? His unbelievable attitude. Very good. Now, that was the first point. The second point of Daniel being an MVP player, not only did he have an unbelievable attitude, but he had an unquestionable character. What kind of character? Unquestionable character. First, his unbelievable attitude. And by the way, the only way to make a difference in this world is to have an excellent spirit. Those people that make a difference, those people in your life that's had influence on you, those people that God uses more than anybody else, they've got something that no one else has, and that usually is an excellent spirit. I believe your preacher is one of those people. He's got an excellent spirit. That's why God is using him more so than other preachers, because the fact of his spirit, okay? You, that person that would be chosen for a particular job, you've got that person that it's a special job. It's like, boy, I really need somebody that's got it together. I really need somebody that's got a good, they're going to pick the excellent spirit, okay? You think, boy, I got a job that needs to get done. If God's up in heaven saying, man, I got a job that I need to get this done, who can I count on? Who can do it? And he's going to pick those that have excellent spirit. Nobody is used of God without an excellent spirit. No one is used of God without a what? An excellent spirit. Nobody is. Those people that are most used. Brother Howes was so greatly used because he had a spirit like nobody else had. He was not easily offended. Man, his enemies, he would send them Bibles. He would buy suits for them. People that tried to destroy him wanted to kill him. It was his spirit. He had an unbelievable spirit. God used him in a great way. You think of the people that God has used, and every one of them is going to have an excellent spirit. You are no better of a Christian than the spirit that is in you. Okay? You're no better of a Christian than the spirit that's in you. And I wonder, would the people that know you call you a Christian by the spirit that you have? Well, they look at you, and the time they spend around you, and whenever that they're in your presence, will they say, man, they have got a spirit. There's something different about them. It's amazing. I'll take a tour group with me from Howes Anderson College during the summer, and as we're out for 2 or 3 weeks at a time with that tour group, whenever we're traveling, we'll stop at a truck stop, we'll stop at a rest area, and immediately those, not only the fact that they're dressed alike, and because they're dressed modestly, they get a lot of attention. It's like, wow. You know what I mean? It just really, they just think, man, we've never seen a group of ladies that just look so wholesome, just so clean. We cannot go anywhere and somebody not come up to us and make comment about their attitude, their spirit, their dress, that whole thing. Okay, it's almost like they're carrying a neon sign. And it's like, wow, what is that? Well, there's a spirit there. In fact, that was one reason why that whenever I was choosing what school I was going to go to, that had a big part, the spirit of that school. See, every school has got a spirit. And there's something about Howes Anderson, that spirit that I was really drawn to. I says, man, that's an exciting place. That's a place where, boy, in chapel services, they don't put you to sleep. I said, they got a spirit. Man, they've got a zeal to serve the Lord and do something for God. And man, I want that kind of spirit. Brother, the preacher gave me a great compliment last night. Was talking about our family and being on the upside and positive side. See, those things come from your influences. They come from how you've been, if you would, programmed. See, you program a computer, people are programmable. okay? As children are being raised by their parents, they're programmed. How you respond to the influences of life programs you. The teachers that you have in the classroom, they influence you, they affect you and your behavior. And so because I'm a product of my influences, and if the preacher says any kind words about us and our family, all I can do is just point to the Lord. I can point to Brother Hiles. I can point to Hiles Anderson College. I can point to my parents because they had a major influence on my life, see. And Daniel, he had some major influences in his life that helped bring about an excellent spirit in his life. So not only did he have this excellent spirit, which was his unbelievable attitude, but we see here the unquestionable character. Look down in verse number 4. It says, then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Notice that. It says, they could not find any fault in him. It says, he was faithful, and it says, there was no error, no fault in him. I mean, they looked, they said, we got to find something wrong with this guy. You know, if people wanted to find something wrong with you, would it take them very long? You know, if they was really just really checked you out, I mean, upside down, inside out, how long would it take them to find? They said, we cannot find one thing wrong with him. There is no fault. I thought, wow, Daniel had a no-fault faith. His faith, because he was faithful, because of that set of beliefs that governed his life, he had a no-fault faith. There was nothing in him. I guarantee you the reason why he was that way was any time that he felt like that there's something wasn't right, or there was a bad attitude, or maybe there was a spirit, or maybe he was doing something that wasn't right, immediately he nipped little things in the bud. I guarantee you, if he would have been in a Christian school chapel and the preacher was preaching and the Holy Spirit dealt with him about a thought, about an action, about how he treated somebody, but he'd hit the altar and deal with that when it was little bitty matter. He never let anything get big. That's how that they could say, man, we cannot find anything. He's so honest. He's got such a good spirit. He's faithful. He's hardworking. We said, we can't find anything wrong with him. That's why he was used so greatly. Boy, you want to be, you know, you want to be an MVP player. Boy, you want to be promoted. And it very well could be that not every one of you will be in a full-time ministerial position. And some of you will be out, and if you're going to college, you're going to be working in a workforce somewhere to pay for your schooling. And so you want to get promoted at work. Boy, you want to get a raise. You want to be a most valuable player. And boy, we cannot survive without you. There's a young boy that Joshua Bryan. His daddy is Pastor Craig Bryan in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And he's a freshman at Hiles Anderson College this last year. He got a job at True Green, and I mean, it's just like he went up to the top. He's their best salesman. He has outsold, he's broke the records of the whole company by thousands of dollars in a 1 week's time. It was averaged, the highest that anybody ever got was $14,000 in a week. He sold $21,000 in a week. To go from 14 to 21, that's quite, and he hadn't even been there a year. And man, he's just been, whoa, buddy, he went to the top. Man, he's making a lot of money. You know what? I believe it's also, not only is God being good to him and blessing him because of his spirit, because of his attitude, because of his hard work, but I think it's also kind of a test. Like, okay, what are you living for? You living for the money? Or are you going to pull your eyes off of Bible college and the ultimate goal to graduate and to be a preacher? You can pull your eyes off of that and say, I'm going to work for True Green. And then I tell you what, I could be maybe the song leader in the church, or I could be a layman. God says, no, that's not what I had intended for you. I gave you this good job to help put you through school, to help give you a good financial base, to help you to be able to, you can afford to buy a diamond ring for that girl that you want to marry someday. You can afford to have a decent car, and you're not going to be starving. And God says, I'm blessing you. And that is, but it's also a test to see, what are you going to do? Daniel had some tests that came up in his life, checking him out, like, and you're going to have things that's going to come along you, and you got to make a choice. You got to decide, what are you going to do? He had unquestionable character. They said the only way that we can find something wrong with this fella is the fact in his faith. That's the only way that we can bind him up. He had a no-fault faith. And would to God, there'd be young people saying, man, see, the Bible tells us to be perfect. He says, be holy as I am holy. Now, we cannot be holy, but we ought to strive to be better. We should never be satisfied with where we're at spiritually. We should say, man, I always want to be more honest. I want to be a better soul winner. I want to be a harder worker. I want to do better. See, you got to constantly work on it because we're not perfect. And Daniel, he was that way. I guarantee you, the only reason why that he was so exalted, the only reason why he was so preferred is because he said, man, I want to do better. I want to be my best. And he had a no-fault faith. Take your Bibles and turn real quick over into Hebrews chapter number 11. We'll see what this no-fault faith will do. He had no-fault faith. They couldn't even find anything, no dishonesty in his mistakes. And they said the only way we can get him is in his faith. See, he was envied because he was advanced over people. By the way, when you get promoted, I guarantee you, Joshua Bryan got promoted at work. And he's got a lot of enemies. They're thinking, this guy ain't even been here a year. He's still a teenager. He isn't even 20 years old. And he has broke the company's worldwide records in sales. They called him up and they offered him a position to relocate in Florida. They were giving him a six-digit figure salary, housing, all this stuff. He's not even 20 years old. And they are just like, unload us this stuff. He says, no. They said, well, you can go. He said, I'm in Bible college. They said, well, you can go to Bible college down here. There's some seminary down the road. I should have said cemetery. There's some dead school down the road that you can go to. He says, no, I'm not doing that. I thought, boy, that's good. He's passing the test. He's saying, uh-uh. See, God will bless you. And he was going through a test, a checkpoint here. It doesn't happen by accident. With God's help, you ought to say, man, I want a no-fault faith to be found in me. This unquestionable character. Didn't have to worry. Don't have to worry about him. The preacher was mentioned, one of the teenage boys in the youth group. And he said, you don't have to worry about that boy. You can count on him. You know what he's saying? He's dependable. He's got unquestionable character. Don't have to worry about him. See, that's what you ought to strive to be. You ought to say, man, that's what I want. Well, what will this no-fault faith, what will this unquestionable character, what will it cause you to do? I'm glad you asked me. I'm going to show you. Hebrews chapter 11, and look down there in verse number 23. Hebrews chapter 11, and in verse number 23. The Bible says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now what happened was, at first, it was his parents' faith. It started out, Moses' parents did this. Now, it's been transferred to Moses. See, your teachers, your Sunday school teachers, your youth directors, your school principals, administrators, and the spiritual authority in your life has handed you something, and now it's your turn to take it and run with it. Moses was handed a heritage, and what does he do? He follows suit. And it says, now by faith, Moses, he picked it up and ran with it. First thing he did was he refused. What did he do? He refused. That word refuse, that means to deny the request of. It means to deny the invitation. It means to deny the command. There are some things that I refuse to be called. I refuse to be called a liberal. I refuse to be called a Christ rejecter. I refuse to be a deadbeat. I refuse to be a queer. I refuse to be a compromiser. I refuse to be a contemporary Christian. I refuse it. I'm going to say no. I don't want it. There's some things that you need to already just say, hey, man, if this comes along, I'm going to refuse it. I'm going to say no to it. I refuse to do it. I refuse to neck and to pet and to go down lover's lane and to have a physical relationship with somebody outside of marriage. I refuse it. So you got to decide now, I'm not going to do it. I refuse that. I refuse to go to the dances. I refuse to go to the proms. I refuse to drink alcoholic beverages. I refuse that. She was a teenager, and didn't have the privilege of going to the Christian school. She went to a good church, though. And she was always under pressure by the other kids to come to the prom.
Well, she didn't want to feel left out and excluded. And she knew better, and she knew the reasons why. And her preacher and everybody told her what went on at those proms and what was wrong with the dancing, what was wrong with the music, what went along with it. And all it is everybody's trying to get everybody else to lose their purity and to lay around with each other and to commit fornication. And she knew better. But she just kind of got away from the Lord. She kind of laid that Bible down. And she got to where she wasn't spiritual. She was going through the motions. And finally, she kept after her mom about wanting to go to the prom. Mom said no. So she went ahead and went anyway. She snuck out. She did it. Mom's not going to tell me what to do. She went out, and boy, they was out to get her. And they got her. Because after the prom, after the dance, she got a young man that gave her a lot of attention. And he was the one chosen to try to get her to lose her purity. And so he turned on the charm. He put on the heat. And boy, he was out there dancing with her. Whenever it was over, they said, hey, let's go. We're going to go over to our friend's house and we're going to drink. And she went with them. And they drank and they doctored up her drink. They give her a Mickey, if you would. And next thing she knew, she woke up the next morning in a motel room with a sheet wrapped around her, not knowing where she was. You don't think she got some regrets? It'll never happen to me. See, all those things, and now she went home felt like a dirty dog. Just felt so dirty, just felt so betrayed. Thought, man, they said they was my friends and we was having a good time. They lied. See, she should have denied. She should have said, no, man, I don't want that. I refuse it. I'm not going to. And now she's sorry for it and she can never regain what she lost. And now they're laughing at her and they're making fun of her. See, you got to be able to say no to sin in your life because it's going to come up. If you're in the right situation, in the right circumstances, I wonder, would you do it? Huh? If you got an invitation, somebody offered you some drug, somebody offered you something that was sin or bad, what would you do? Would you look at it? Or have you already decided, if that happens, I'm going to say no? You're a whole lot better off, excuse me, if you decide now, before it even comes up, I'm not going to do it. Before it even happens, I'm not going to do it. Moses' faith caused him to refuse to say no. Something else it caused him to do. Look there in the next verse, in verse number 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Number one, Moses what? Refused. Number two, what did he do? Choose. What did he do? Choose. He chose some things. See, that means that word chosen means to select from, in preference to prefer. He chose to take a stand against sin. He chose, okay? He purposed in his heart. He says, hey, I'm not going to base my decisions on pleasure. He chose affliction over pleasure. He chose heaven over hell. He chose right over wrong. He chose, what are you choosing? The Bible over the TV guy? I hope so. You choose it. I choose godly music according to Ephesians 5:19, Colossians 3:16, Psalms 96:1-4. I want to have godly music, spiritual hymns and psalms speaking to my heart instead of my flesh. I'm choosing it. So you got to decide what kind of music you're listening to. You got to decide how are you going to dress. Are you going to take up the church's dress standards as your own because it's right? Or are you going to say, no, while I'm at church and school, I will dress this way, but during the summer, whenever I go on vacation, I'm going to dress another way. Well, there's double standard there. It needs to be, you're doing it because I love the Lord, because I want to please God. I'm going to choose to wear what's right. I'm going to choose to be modest. See, are you doing it just because, well, Brother Don says you have to, Mom and Dad says you got to, or do you do it because you want to? Your faith, no fault faith, will cause you to refuse some things. It will also cause you to choose some things. He chose it. So, man, this is what I want. I choose to have short hair. I don't have much of a choice. I don't have much hair. Amen. Choose it. I choose to wear modest apparel. I choose it. Whenever that I was getting ready to go off to House Anderson College, there the church, our church, most of the people belong to South Wilmington Firemen's Fishing and Swimming Club. In South Wilmington, it was an old strip mine area that they turned it into lakes and had a big old sand beach. And it was a swimming hole and a fishing hole. And most of the church members where I went to church belonged there. And we went there. And on occasion, the preacher would get up and he'd preach about mixed swimming. But it kind of went in one ear and out the other. And it was never really lived, even in his own family. It was just something that he would just throw out every once in a while. And everybody went. That didn't make it right. My family was even a member. Well, all of a sudden, God called me to preach. And then I got to listening to Brother Howes preach. It didn't take me very long to figure out where he stood on this issue. And I knew I had to make a choice. Am I going to continue to do what I know is wrong? Because after hearing that preaching and knowing, I said, you know, I started feeling uncomfortable. I started feeling, you know, like, man, this ain't right. Man, we shouldn't be doing this. You know, the teenagers from the youth group don't need to be mixed swimming. Didn't take very long. Doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. And so finally, I had to decide all the rest of them are still going. And I said, well, am I going to go or not? And finally, I said, I'm not going to go. And said, I'm never going back. It's not right. I cannot do that. I know that it's wrong. And now God's called me to be a preacher. And I know better. And I've heard the preaching. I've heard the teaching. And so I finally had to decide, no, I'm not going. While everybody else went, I said no. And that was a hard decision. That wasn't easy. Whenever, man, we grew up doing it. And for many years, we didn't even know what was wrong with it. Now all of a sudden, now I know. See, when you know what's right to do and you don't do it, it's going to hit your heart heavy. And it hit my heart. And I said, man, I cannot live by myself doing this. I'm not going to be able to do that. And I said, I'm not going to do it. I had to make a choice. And I decided not to. Then I had to make a choice. Am I going to go to college or not? My sister said, Kevin, what are you going to do with your life? I said, I won't be anything but a preacher. And she said, oh? And I might as well held a sign up. God's calling me to preach, you know. I was fighting it. And I had to make a choice. Am I going to yield to the call on my life? Am I going to say yes to God? Am I going to stay working construction and make big bucks? Or am I going to go off to college somewhere? Am I going to go to a state school? Am I going to go to a Bible school? And finally, I said, man, I got to do what God's called me to do. I answered the call to preach. I believe I shared with you this story. My call to preach is Evangelist Carl Hatch was preaching, and I was fighting, and I was holding on to the back of the pew, sitting in the back of the auditorium, and I was wanting to do my will and my way. And finally, I said, I'm miserable. I'm tired of being miserable. I want the blessings of God on my life. I yielded to it. I surrendered to it, waved that white flag. I made a choice to do the will of God. And then I made a choice. Okay, I got to go to Bible college. And so I went around, traveled, and went to the Bible colleges of the day and took a look at them, prayed about it, got counsel from my preacher, from my mom and daddy, looked at the product, at what they was putting out, deciding where do I want to go, what do I want to be influenced by, what kind of a preacher, what kind of a ministry do I want to have, and I made a choice. And I went off to Howes Anderson College in Crown Point, Indiana, and I graduated from there and got married, and on and on and on. The decisions I made by choice. See, your faith will cause you to make decisions. It'll cause you to make choices. And by the way, your choices shouldn't be dependent upon weather, geographical location. Everybody else is going there. See, everybody else in my school, they were going off to Bob Jones. They were going off to some other schools that just you wouldn't even recommend anybody to go to. And they were saying, well, they got a preacher program at these schools. That's where everyone was going, to this other school. And they tried to get me. And they said, you don't want to go to Howes Anderson. You want to come with us because Howes Anderson, man, they're fanatics. Howes Anderson, all you do is just read your Bible and pray all the time. You know, they'd never even been. They had never even met anybody. They never set foot on the campus. They never heard Brother Howes preach. But all they did was just listening to what everybody else was being critical about and just copying it. You better be careful about making decisions based on people's criticism. You better be careful. If somebody's critical about Providence, somebody's critical about OBC, somebody's critical about Howes Anderson, you better just stay away from that person. You found a critical person. You're not going to hear this preacher. You won't hear Brother Scott. You won't hear anybody at First Baptist run down Jim Vineyard, OBC. They will not run down Keith Gomez and Providence. We're not in that. We're on the same page. We're on the same team. Okay? They're not the enemies. That's not going to happen. See? But when you find people that got a critical spirit and they're just like, you know, well, you bless God, you ain't right with God if you don't come. You just need to stay away from that outfit. Stay away from those people. they're going to do nothing but hurt you. And those people were trying to run down where I felt like God wanted me to go. They were trying to run that down because they wanted me to come their way. I guarantee you, I would not have the ministry that I have today. I would not be where I am today if I would have followed them and went where everybody else did. Because, well, that's where my girlfriend was going to school. And that's where all the other kids are going. So I'm going to go too. That is a stupid reason. But it's a lot of pressure. A lot of young people do that. Just because everybody else, you better make sure it's God's will. See, that faith, no fault faith, will cause you to make a choice because that's God's will. It's not because I want to do it, because I feel like doing it, because everybody else is doing it. I'm going because that's where God wants me to go. And I'm going to go. And that's what I'm going to do. Moses, he made a choice. That no fault faith that he had caused him to choose some things. And he chose it. I hope that you make right choices. There's some more things that no-fault faith will cause you to do. And we'll finish that up later. But I wonder, what do you need to do to increase your faith? Where does it stand? Do you have a no-fault? If we had to find something wrong with you, would it take very long? And those things that you know what's wrong with you, are you working on them? See, Daniel, I'm sure he's the kind of person, he wouldn't let it rest. If he had a fault, if he had something in his life that didn't please God, that wasn't right, he's just going to keep working on it until he got it right, until he got victory. See, that's the difference. God can use people who have a desire to have a no-fault faith. God can use people to say, I want to have an excellent spirit. I want to have an unbelievable attitude. I want to have a no-fault faith. I want to have unquestionable character. It'll cause you to refuse some things. It'll cause you to choose some things. You have to make decisions. I hope that you've got enough desire in your heart to want to do right and to please God, to say, man, that's what I want to be. You want to be preferred? You want to be a most valuable player? You don't have to have a lot of talent. You don't have to be Mr. or Miss Personality. You do not have to master the English language. You do not have to be able to play an instrument and sing. No, you just got to have a willing heart. You just got to be willing to do the will of God for your life. That's it. Heavenly Father, I pray now as we close this chapel service today that you'd help these young people to desire in their heart to have a no-fault faith. Help them, dear God, to desire in their heart to have unquestionable character. And Lord, it's something we got to want. We got to go after. We got to seek. It's something that does not happen by accident. God, I pray that you'd help us. I pray, dear Lord, that Lord, we would be usable. That, dear God, that if there's anything at all in our lives that wouldn't please you, that you just would let us know. And that we would be tender to your spirit as you speak to us, as you deal with us. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I wonder who would say, Brother Walker, the Lord has spoken to me. And I want to strengthen my faith. I want to have a no-fault faith that will cause me to make good decisions in my life. Who would raise their hand and say, that's me? That's me. That's what I want. That's what I desire. Amen. God bless you. Now, right now, without any music, I'm going to take a moment to give you an opportunity to slip down here to this altar and to make a decision, take a few moments in prayer. And so right now, with our heads bowed and eyes closed, if you raised your hand, God spoke into your heart, slip quietly from your seat, find you a place down here at this altar, and let's pray. Let's do business with the Lord, and whatever it is He's dealt with you about. Maybe it's, Lord, my faith has been weak. Lord, maybe I've made some wrong decisions. Maybe instead of refusing some things, I've said yes to some things. I've made some bad choices. Well, you can start right now saying, I want to make good choices. I want to have that no-fault faith. I want to have an unquestionable character. I don't want to be in question. I do not want Brother Don and Pastor Angel to all the time have to be watching out of the corner of their eye, wondering, am I with the program? Am I on page? Am I questionable with my character, my behavior? I want to be unquestionable. Oh, Lord, as these young people have responded, as they're praying and doing business with you, oh, Lord, I pray that you'd help each and every one of them to take a step of growth in their faith. And, Lord, that they would have that desire to be like Daniel was, with an excellent spirit. Lord, with a no-fault faith. Lord, that's why he was preferred. They couldn't even find anything wrong with him if they tried. And Lord, those are the kind of folks that you use, and I pray you'd help us to be that way. Help us, dear God, to get rid of anything that's questionable in our lives. Lord, anything that would cause people to wonder, anything that would be borderline, anything, dear God, that wouldn't please you, convict us of it. Let us know what it is. We want to make it right and do right by you. Lord, this will be a key factor in their being used. This will be a key factor in, Lord, their usefulness. And in the spirit of the school, oh Lord, help them to strive and to want to do it. Thank you for every decision made. Thank you for tender hearts and the dates you've given us. Lord, in just a moment we'll be dismissed for lunch, and we thank you for the food we're about to eat too, and give us strength from that. Bless the activities today, and we'll praise you and thank you for it all. Amen. All right. You can be seated, Brother Don. We're ready to go. Time to go eat. I don't know, it might be 12:05.